Hello, everyone. Thank you for sticking around in spite of the last-minute substitution. It's going to be a good game anyway. So I am Catherine Druckmann. I have been around open source for a very, very long time, going back to my early days, also in the Drupal project, incidentally. We heard about how Drupal recognizes contributions a little bit ago. But yeah, so I've been around Drupal. I've been around many other open source communities. I was at Linux Journal for a very long time, for those of you who remember magazines when those were a thing. So I am currently head of community and partnership engagement at JetBrains. But this is not about that, because in addition to that, I am also a human who genuinely cares about open source software and software ecosystems and keeping software secure. And I have, for several years, been involved in some open source security projects, most notably the Open Source Security Foundation. I have volunteered there quite a bit. And I have a lot of feelings, so I'm going to share them. I'm going to share them today. I think that I'm going to talk about the critically important role that developer relations and communities play in software security. Maybe not obvious to all people, but it's obvious to me. So this is a real Reddit post, by the way. So let's talk about the great security divide that seems to exist between a lot of development teams and their security colleagues, right? What do I mean by security divide? If you've gotten through some of this post, maybe you'll get an idea. But there's kind of a usual disconnect that I see between security and development teams that often fosters kind of an us versus them mentality, which is not helpful. It hinders collaborative progress and the adoption of crucial security practices. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. A developer posted this on Reddit not that long ago, in the last 6 months or so. But he basically says, right, the security team keeps breaking our CI/CD. The security team in this case is very much a them to the developer that's posting this. The security team has added 47 new scanning tools, which I'm sure the security team finds very valuable, but they take forever, they randomly fail, and pardon the adult language in there, but this is the internet, y'all. It's a real post. But the developers complain of slow feedback loops and perceived inaccuracies. And worse, they report developers resorting to pushing code directly to production, which is not something we want. That's kind of terrifying as a person who uses software and would like it to be secure. So the interesting thing, of course, is that this post got 316 upvotes, 362 comments from developers sharing similar experiences. This is not all that isolated, right? One recalled a message recalled a story that their actual security issues continue to accumulate because they are unable to release anything at all. So this one, a hat tip, by the way, to Kathy Sierra. If you don't know who Kathy Sierra is, she was a longtime usability expert, really fantastic. I have carried this a similar image with me in my mind from a 2009 keynote she gave at South by Southwest. But this kind of sums up part of this disconnect that leads to the divide that I mentioned. We have a lot of security experts, right, in the world, in the world of open source. Many are around here at FOSDEM giving their talks, releasing all these fantastic tools, releasing them to the community, usually with ample documentation, presenting a menu of lovely options to their intended audience and users, but maybe too many options. If we're finding it takes, you know, at least a 30-minute explanation per tool and a lot of nuance to recommend a tool for a specific issue, we start to lose the intended user of these tools that we've developed. We like to think, much like this image, that the intended user is intrigued, does an in-depth investigation, pores over the documentation, trying to figure out where this nifty new tool fits into their workflow, build it and they will come, right? Field of dreams. So we like to think that they're all soaking up all this great knowledge, getting to know all the players in the project that they want to use. This is the dream. But that's probably not what's happening, right? What's probably happening is that they're doing a quick install, running into an issue, punching their laptop, and walking away, probably. We've all been there, right? Or someone else has mandated that they use this nifty new tool, like in our Reddit post, and it has become their nightmare, and they punch their laptop and they walk away. That does not get us more secure software. So here's the thing. We've solved a lot of technical problems, and now we need to solve the human ones, and those can be far, far more difficult, which is why we are here today in a community dev room, because these problems often become the most difficult to solve. So given that the developer and security roles involved in creating secure software are likely a little out of sync, again, back to that Reddit post, and as we probably see in the wild, this inevitably leads to frustration, then maybe some pushback, or worse, pushback that leads to bypassing security tools altogether, which produces less secure software, which affects all of us. So how do we work to solve the problem? The answer is relationship building, at large and small scales, and that's what developer relationships is about. It's about being empathetic to real needs, real human needs, being collaborative, and about being human. Security teams often operate from a compliance and enforcement mindset, right? That's the goal. Their goal is compliance. And they view developers as potential sources of failure. Like, we're all like walking points of failure, right? Like potential disasters waiting to happen, but we're also humans, right? On the other hand, developers prioritize speed, innovation, shipping features, and often perceive security as a bottleneck or an imposition. This fundamental difference in objectives creates that significant divide that I started with. So the result is an environment where security tools, despite their critical importance, are often met with resistance rather than adoption, which is just awfully counterproductive and gets in the way of effective risk mitigation. But what if we flip that script a little bit? Make developers choose to use the right security tools because they meet their needs, because they understand why they meet their needs. They understand the benefit, they want to use them. Now it helps if these tools are easy to use. Lovely AI-generated image that I'm a little bit proud of. For so many reasons though, developer relations is not just a nice to have. It's an essential function. It enables effective collaboration and security across an organization. By fostering strong relationships and communication between developers, security teams, and open source security projects, by the way, shout out to the OpenSSF and others, developer relations helps drive security best practices and solutions that are practical and sustainable. If the neon security nerds could just make friends with developers, in this surreal and colorful landscape, developers wouldn't have to rant on Reddit anymore. So how do we actually accomplish this, right? We hear meet developers where they are a lot. And what that means is reaching them in their native environments. Make sure your projects are communicating in ways and in the places where it will be received. Maybe it means Slack alerts, maybe it means they're on Discord, maybe even Stack Overflow, who knows. But make sure to put some effort into finding where your audience is. Then focus on what messaging is meaningful to them. Always provide useful context. Why does this matter? In our documentation, in our user interaction, in our alerts, our features. Always consider meaningful context and the developer experience. Recenter our focus on the intended users of the tools that we create and not on the messaging that we think that they need. And building on the above, tone, I think, matters just as much. Security messaging, I find, can sometimes have a policing tone, but instead we should focus on sincerely being helpful and creating partnership, and the intended outcome is far more likely to be successful. And then, how do we know we're being effective? Our industry loves to measure things, don't we? We love to measure. Let's make sure to track the success that actually matters. Maybe that's improving time to remediation of security issues, Maybe it's developer satisfaction with the security tools in question, and it may vary by project and audience. And finally, a sometimes overlooked DevRel strategy is effective feedback loops. It should be fundamental, but it is frequently overlooked, I think. In order to build the collaborative relationship you need to build adoption, make sure your users are being heard. Collect and implement feedback early and often, and gathering this feedback helps you improve the tools in question. So everything I just said is even more critical for open source projects, of course. We're here at FOSDEM, we know these things, but in order for open source projects to be sustainable, we first need to build awareness and adoption, but then that ideally leads to contribution and even training up new maintainers that we've just talked about throughout the day, ensuring the long-term success of the project. So this constant communication and relationship building with the intended beneficiaries of your projects pays even greater dividends in open source projects, because this is how you keep them going once they've reached any kind of critical mass. So I mentioned a little bit ago, tracking success in ways that matter, right? So what does that mean? Developer satisfaction might be one, right? Happy developers, happy life, or secure life. If you meet the needs of the people your tools are created to help, we're not creating them for ourselves, are we? Tools are created to be used and implemented and to be integrated into workflows. But once you create the things that resonate and actually solve the problems, those users become your loyal advocates who will evangelize your projects. Assessing the depth and value of interactions might be another valuable measurement, right? Types of questions asked, the quality of the feedback that's provided, a bit subjective, but worth keeping track of. And active community participation gives you an idea of what's working and what's not. I think it's important for all of us, again, who use software, which is all of us, I assume, or I hope. It's important for all of us to participate in tackling security problems and ultimately deliver better outcomes. So let's focus on the success of those efforts, right? Are we truly helping speed up remediation? Are we doing security theater? Are we furthering secure development best practices? I think we capture and then build on that. And by the way, the stakes are pretty high. We don't want developers shipping insecure code because they're frustrated with security tooling. That's a non-starter. If we build the necessary relationships at scale, though, we can shift the narrative, right? Bridge that divide that I started with. No more us versus them. We create a culture of collaboration rather than just compliance. Again, remember the Reddit post I started with. That's a very real example that we can file away in our mental filing cabinets to always keep in mind when we're doing all of the great work, you know, that our projects and communities, how can we solve security problems or any problems in the most frictionless way? Treating developers as compliance obstacles might get us compliance theater. If you treat the developers we want to reach as collaborators, we get the outcome we want, which is better software, more secure software. So just really quickly, right? Basically, we need people to use all these great tools we're creating. Deeply integrating developer relations in our approach leads to more adoption, less developer friction, and better problem solving across the software landscape. And we do this by empowering developers. Right? We want developers to feel like they have superpowers. We build real relationships built on trust, and by flipping the us versus them mentality completely on its head, take a step back, zoom out from the code and the infrastructure, and see the people who are trying to do their best work in the most secure way, and remember to treat them as people, offer help where needed, and then maybe get out of the way to enable them to go do great things. Again, to invoke Kathy Sierra, who's brilliant and I wish created more talks and writing these days, but to invoke her again, it's not about making them think the tools are awesome. It's about making them feel awesome about themselves, their abilities, and empowering them to feel like security heroes, software engineering heroes, development heroes. So I propose we answer some of these questions together, right? How do you set up the right communication channels and keep them thriving for your projects? What does really good documentation look like? I think, you know, there are some projects that are doing this really, really well. What can we learn from each other? How do you handle conflict when developers push back, in particular on security requirements, things that are very important? How do you handle that? So this is the part where I tell you to go join an open source security community. There are several. OpenSSF has a developer relations community that I'm a part of. I encourage you to join that one. But wherever you go, let's solve these things together, right? Join the conversation, help spread the word, collect the feedback, improve the tools, improve the open source security landscape. That's it. I have plenty of time for questions, being that I am a tent sitter today. Yes, I would love to talk to you about making software better by being a better human.
Thank you. All of that makes a lot of sense, but it makes a massive assumption, which is that we are that developers actually still write the code. And so instead of DevRel, don't we need AI or Agent RHEL? And how would you adapt, iterate on that presentation for AI relation?
Well, that's a really good question. However, I think at this point in time, we still have humans in the loop that are using the agents, right? So I don't think at this point, I mean, I shudder to think of a reality where we can just completely bypass human needs, but I think at this point, it's not all that relevant. I think agents are tools for humans, and you still have to deal with human pushback on, especially, again, going back to, let's go back to the original slide here, the Reddit post in question. I don't think that AI agents solve this problem in any way. Or I don't think they change it. I don't think they change the conversation all that much. Because at the end of the day, especially when you're talking about security tooling, you have people in a different part of your company, in a different part of your organization of some sort, making decisions about what is correct for security best practices. And they probably know what they're talking about. I mean, they definitely do in most cases. And so I think what this comes down to and what agents can't solve are convincing people why they need to do a thing the right way. So I think, yes, in theory, at some point there's a lot of agentic interaction and that kind of thing, but I think that is, happening in a different place than these kind of disagreements, frustrations, conflicts. So I think at this point in time in history, now who knows, 5 years, a year, 1 year from now, right? Who knows what it's going to look like? But today, these human problems are still very relevant because you still do need to convince people why certain things just matter. So that's my take today. Ask me again next year, I don't know.
We have 5 more minutes. Anyone questions? No? Thank you very much
again. Thank you.